one.
Amen.
Sit down.
Ephesians 7 and 8 together. Amen.
Amen.
Change to the image as thou art.
Amen.
Sure,
的荣形一样一世。主啊，我们终将变成珍珠宝石。主啊，谢谢你给我们看见身体的异象。我们变成珍珠宝石不是为供赏识，乃是为建造配搭，成为你荣耀的家。
your building.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
享受主啊，而是为了你的身体，你的召会。哦，主啊，我们不仅是你建造的活石，主啊，我们更愿意成为你的踏脚石。主啊，在我们的身上，你们主啊，你愿用圣灵踩过一脚，主啊，也是我们的福分。主啊，今天就让我们弟兄姊妹在这里，主啊，摆上我们自己，主啊，你就踩过我们，祝福纽约市召会。
Tonight's fellowship is going to be in English, with a translation.
Weekend we fellowship quite a bit about God's heart desire. That is to build his house, to gain his eternal dwelling place. And so David is a man after God's own heart. Why is that?What is he care for? He care for God's house. That's why he's a man after God's heart. So today we all want to be a man after God's own heart, to really satisfy him. So we have to be very, very care, even I would say consumed, just David was. He says, I will not give my eyes any rest. I will not give you a slumber until I will make a house for God.And this matter of the gospel, the building, the God's house, of course, the God building the God's house has a process there. But the number one thing, of course, at the very beginning, we need the material. Without the material, there's nothing to build.
That's right.
And certainly, only the material is not enough. The raw material need to be prepared, cut, planned, and fit together. And that's the growth of life. But the very beginning, the fundamental, without this step,And then nothing else goes. That is, we need man to be saved. And then, of course, the Paul's burden is not only man to be saved, but also sanctified by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's a process to be renewed, to be transformed, and then so that can be filled with Christ, from the mud to the living stones. And all this process all began with a man being saved.Regenerate. Then there's the potential. There's a next step. We can continue from the beginning. Then we need to nourish them so they can grow in life. And perfecting so that can be equipped. And eventually they can all speak the word of God in prophesying so they can be brought into not only building the house and also they themselves can be built into the house of God.
Amen.
Because the house of God are those people regenerated, transformed, and so forth. So, brothers and sisters, you know, this is the fundamental, the first step. And this is the reason, if you really read the history about any those ones who have been greatly used by the Lord, immediately, one thing after they got saved, they all became very much burdened to preach the gospel. Amen. Brother Lee was that way. When he got saved, he said, even on his way home, he looked at the heaven, he prayed, I will consecrate myself to you. I will be going what? From village to village, and I will preach you. I will bring the Bible to spread you to all the villages, even to the point, if I don't have any food to eat, I just eat what? The root of the grass and the tree barks, and I'm thirsty, I just drink the mountain spring. And that's what his heart desire. Watchman Nee, the same. He has such a burden to preach the gospel. And then he will fast and pray for all his classmates, to the point, my understanding is that all but two were saved, all his classmates. You can see that everyone who have been used by the Lord, and initially, all the days, they are very, very, very much care for God's house. That is, to preach the gospel to the others. This is because when we got saved, we are so thankful and grateful to the Lord. And we do want to share our enjoyment. You know, what we see, wow, this is such a precious thing. I really wanted to share with this everyone.
Amen.
Even that Samaritan woman is the same. She got a drink of the living water. Immediately, she put down this and went to the city to tell everyone about this story she met. So, this is the burden, is that we all need to be burdened. And I would say even consumed by the gospel. Paul says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel. He lived for the gospel. He became everyone, everything to everyone, so that by all means he may gain some. That was Paul's burden. Of course, you know, not just get the people merely saved. For the regeneration, the salvation of the soul, eventually all the way saved to the uttermost, so that we can be built together with as a precious stone, the transformed with gold, silver, and the precious stone. That is, the triune God dispensed into people. Initially, the dispensing is the regeneration of the Spirit. And tonight, you know, we get together. My understanding is that all of you are involved somewhat on the campus. The Brother Lee says, you know, the most valuable thing we can do is gain the young people. Because you gain the young people, you gain their whole life.
Right.
Yeah, you gain their whole life. And many of us, and I'm included, I was saved when I was a freshman. And many of us saved during those formation age. And then are given our whole life to the Lord and make ourselves useful for the building up his eternal dwelling place. I may just intermix with a little bit my testimony. As I said, I was saved when I was a freshman, and actually it was very simple. Just one of my roommates, he actually lived, you may say, before the Lord. So with another brother, they have at the time called the Morning Watch. You know, this is in the early 60s. And he just did this, and he did not even preach the gospel to me. But I got curious. I thought, you know, usually in the dormitory, a lot of people there, usually people stay up late, get up late, and so forth. So somehow, at least on certain days, he got up early, took a book, and went out. I thought, I just commented to him, wow, you are a very, very diligent student. You get up so early, go to study. He said, no, I wasn't going to study. Well, we went there to read the Bible. I said, oh, okay. And this brother, he didn't follow up. He just left it like that. Also, the horse dropped. And after a while, after probably another week or two, somehow I made another comment. He said, oh, you go to study. He said, oh, yeah. And then he said, oh, well, if you're curious, you know, you're welcome to take a look. It's a very weak invitation. But somehow the Lord, you know, said, okay, and told me, I said, okay, I'll go, I will join you. So tomorrow morning, you know, when you go, you know, call me and I'll go with you. And I went with them, and then, you know, to me, that was very nice. You know, it was probably sometime in September, October. You know, it's a very nice, cool outside, and the sun is there, and we sat under the tree on the campus. And then I just joined them. They sing some hymns. I sang with them. I enjoyed the... I'm not a singer, but I like to sing. And then the psalm and the hymns are very good. And then read the Bible. So I just read with them. And at the time, they are reading, I think, they probably started from Psalm 1. By the time I joined them, they get to about the Psalm 8. And I said, so what do I do? Oh, just read the Bible with us. I said, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name on the whole earth. And so forth. At that time, we don't have the terminology, understanding, that whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But when you say, oh Lord, our Lord, what are you doing? You are calling on the name of the Lord. So to make a long story short, and afterwards, you know, they pray, I say, what's the praying? They say, well, just tell the Lord. I said, what do you tell? Tell whatever you want. And anyway, afterwards, they said, well, how do you feel? I said, I feel pretty good. Do you want to come next time? I said, sure. And as they said, the rest of the history, from that day on, I never stopped the meeting. And at those times, you know, they don't baptize you that easily. Actually, I have to pass through 3 oral exams to be able to be qualified to be baptized, actually. And that was, you know, I went to, at that time, I was in Hall 1 at the Taipei. And then I was quite a bit nervous. Can I pass the oral exam or not? You, some of you are from Taipei, you know that. You know, one interview, another interview, another interview. Finally, you got to sign off. Okay, now you can be baptized. Go over there. But to come back to that. So after that, you know, I... somehow the Lord attracted me, and it was very, you may say, I called it myself, was a painless birth. You know, no struggle, no firework, somehow, but just a sort of a, you know, sublime joy. You really cannot say, you know, this ecstasy that, but I said, oh, that's feeling pretty good. And so many times in my Christian life, looking back, because many times some saints ask me, have you... is your Christian life never have up and down and so forth? You know, I looking back, I never have downtime actually, and neither have I have this super leap of jump. It's just I call the monotone increasing function. The slope is positive, greater than zero. Anyway, so but I was really enjoying it, and so I find that this is very good. So just tell you a testimony, you know, at the end of the semester, the brothers say, oh, well, the final exam is coming. Maybe we should stop our morning time next week. I said, why should we stop? We should continue. And they said, okay, you want to continue, we'll continue with you. And so later on, and during the quarter, the semester, actually there was a gospel preaching on the campus. And at the time, as I said, I wasn't even baptized yet. And I already go door knocking on the door, invite other friends. I was preaching the gospel to the others already. Invited them, these others, to come to the gospel meeting. And I was listening to the gospel with them. Because before that time, nobody really preached the gospel to me. Because we just read the Bible, keep doing the morning revival. We didn't do anything else. So this just tells me, you know, preach the gospel got 10,000 different ways. Somehow you consciously, subconsciously, you open your heart, touch the Lord, and the Lord come in into your heart. And I don't know exactly, in a way, I do not know exactly which day I got saved, and so because some people they can know exactly which year. I know which year, but I really don't know which month, which day, what time, and so forth. And but suffice to say, my salvation is that very simple like that. And then after that, immediately I began to preach the gospel to the others and bring other people to the meeting. And after I get saved, and then I can really say the Lord is real to me. And a few testimonies, which are verified by the word later. Many times you experience first, you don't know what you experience. Later on you read the Bible, oh, that's what it is. I really love the saints. When I, after God saved, you know, immediately when I heard that somebody is a Christian, whoever that is, I immediately have such a closeness, a special feeling for this person. I don't know why. Wow, yeah, he's a Christian. You just have such a loving and a special feeling for them. And of course, now I know, you know, that's actually, it's a proof I have God's life in me, right? And John, First John, and so forth. You love the brother. How do you know? Do you know you love the brothers? That you have the life of God in you. And many of these things is that we experience it not knowing what's going on. But later on, and then the Bible will explain to you what you have been experiencing. And not only that, you know, at that time, you know, this is in the, I say, about the middle 60s. And then whenever I walk on the street, and then I saw some signs says, oh, somebody is doing the gospel, like a 布道大会, you know, in Taiwan, I would go in there to listen. And I may not understand everything, but I really just have such a desire to be there. And sometimes in a certain time I live at the home, and then at those times we don't have a telephone, we don't have a text and so forth. And when the typhoon came, nobody can tell you, we cancel the meeting. So one time I take a train to from where I live into Beitou, you know, that place. And when I got there, the meeting hall was closed. And nobody told me about it. But somehow I still recall, just to look at the meeting hall, I was happy. Yeah. I cannot explain why. You know, I have no complaint. You know, somehow I should say, well, somehow nobody told me about it. I made such a trip, took the train all the way to come here. And in the midst of probably typhoon and so forth, you would be disappointed, right? But somehow, I just looked at the meeting hall, I was very happy about it. I just cannot explain those kind of a feeling, you know. And this just shows the life within us. It's actually very spontaneously operating that way. And I just testify, you know, my salvation to knowing the Lord changed my whole life. Everything got changed in a gradual way, not overnight, but somehow day by day, maybe imperceptible, but accumulatively it's obvious to others. Because many of my friends, you know, after a year, we have a high school reunion. And then in the meeting, you know, many of my classmates in the high school coming to me and says, you know, Kishin, what happened to you? Everybody look about the same, but you're really different. I didn't know what I was different, but they look at me, I was different. And I don't know what was different, but they noticed it, I did not. But others, to them, there's no change. But I got changed. This life in us is real. And also give another testimony. And then in church in Taipei at those times, when you come to the Chinese New Year, they usually have a few days of gospel meeting. And after that, right before the Chinese New Year, they will have the baptism. And needless to say, I want to be baptized. That's the first baptism that came up. And then I went there, and then I was baptized just before the Chinese New Year. I think that was probably either January or February. It was very, very cold. But my heart was burning. And then after I was baptized, and then the next day, The next day is the Chinese New Year Eve. And my family, we have my mother's image there. We usually offer something and so forth. I don't know, my grandmother, I'm sorry. Because my father took the family from China to Taiwan, and my father really, really loved my grandmother. My grandfather died when my father was relatively young, so really my father was raised up by my grandmother. So as they left, and all, my father took my grandmother's a picture. So he really cared for her, tried to remember her, and so showed the respect and the care. He always, through some festivals and certain special days, he will offer something to my grandmother. And then I was the oldest son, so I usually was the one to do all these, prepare all these things, burn those paper and so forth, Chinese this ritual and so forth. And then I got after I got saved, I baptized. I told my parents, I'm a Christian now. I cannot do these things. But fortunately, I have a brother, younger brother, so he took over. He did that. I said, okay, you don't do it, somebody else, as long as somebody else do it, it's fine. And those times, also, I told my mother, I say, the Chinese in the New Year, they all together eat the meal together, 年夜饭, they have to eat the meal together. And my mother really prepared a very good meal. But I told my mother, well, this is offered to the idol, to the image, I don't eat. I said, what? You cannot eat? I said, well, I can sit with you. I just don't eat. He said, no, you cannot do that. So we eventually compromised. Okay, so set aside a portion for me, in the kitchen. And then I will eat later on, bring that portion. I will eat my own portion. I will not eat those. Anyway, so, this is just my testimony. I really got how do I put it? It's a real salvation to me. And later on, I was really, really very desirous and interested, attracted by the Word of God. And the first meeting I went, a big meeting, I'm saying, was a conference. They spoke on Psalm, the Song of Degrees. And actually, there was a behold, how good and pleasant, the brethren dwell together in oneness, like the oil and so forth. And because in the Old Testament, at the time, although reading, I did not have a Bible yet. And this is before I was baptized. That's what I'm saying. And then after the meeting, the brother told me, how do you feel? I said, well, the many things I didn't know. So I heard about Herman. Herman in Chinese is a Haman, means a black door. I said, what is this black door? the brother told me, oh, that's in the Old Testament, Aaron is who, and the ointment is why, and this robe from the beard to the robe. I said, wouldn't that be very sticky, and so forth. He said, all these are stories. So I know, well, I have to get the real knowledge, the historical fact of the Bible. So immediately I bought a Bible, and then I began to read from first page to the last page. And because I really want to know what's the background, so that I can understand when I go to the meeting. So when the other people, burn the midnight to prepare the exam, I was to burn the midnight to read the Bible. I want to get it through fast. And somehow, there's an appetite, there's a desire to read the Word. And the Word really opened to me. And later on, one brother make a comment. He says, before you got saved, you read the Bible, every sentence has a question mark behind it. After you got saved, you got to regenerate. Baptized, really have the Spirit of God in you. When you read the Bible, every sentence ends with an exclamation mark. Somehow, this word becomes self-evident. Intuitively, somehow you say, that's the way it should be. I don't know you have such a experience of not. I actually, it's very obvious to me. It's somehow the word become so intuitively obvious. Oh yeah, that's the way it should be. And that's the work of the Spirit. Spirit gives the understanding. The Spirit gives the entrance. I'm not saying I fully understand everything. But I do say everything it seems so obviously correct. I may not be able to understand, but I don't question it. You know, anyway, I'm just sharing you some of my experience. It's a really, really enjoyable, you may say. The Word has really become very attractive to me. Because of my experience, many times I use a lot of these illustrations to share the gospel with others. Many times I share with others, I say, well, you have to enjoy the first, you understand. You know, of course, I testify to you, you cannot understand the Word until you experience, then you know, that's what it is. So many times I say, you know, you can read the three books about the durian. You know the durian? It's a kind of a fruit in Malaysia, you know. For some people, it's stinky. For others, it's the best food they ever can have. And if you don't know, you never taste it, you can read the three books about durian, you don't know what it is. But once you taste the durian, then you read the book, you say, oh yeah, this, that is that, everything is so obvious. Right?
Amen.
So if we experience the Lord, then you read the Bible, everything is so, so obvious. Oh yeah, that's the way, this is the way, yeah, this is that, this, I know that, this and that, and so forth. Anyway, my sharing this, brothers and sisters, is the following. Everyone who got saved, you spontaneously, that life within us, the Spirit getting into us, have such a desire to share what we enjoy with the others, no matter what the situation is. So immediately I got saved, I immediately shared the gospel with my family. Of course, you know, being a new believer, I have a more enthusiasm than tactics. You know, I blast them, this and that and so forth. And, you know, it's not very tactic. But anyway, we all learn. We need to preach the gospel. The sharing and then the skill of the gospel also, you perfected it by doing it. After many failures, you have to find other ways. But the Spirit is burning within us. We have to maintain that the fire within us.
Amen.
And then that fire will be able to affect others. And also, I said the other day, you know, a couple of meetings ago, the desire to preach the gospel also allowed the Lord to deal with you. Because we want to be able to get other people, bring other people to the Lord. And then if there's anything within us, we have to open to the Lord to deal with us and so forth. You probably, some of you, maybe many of you heard the testimony of Watchman Nee. He got saved, and he really wanted to save all his friends. But then initially, at a certain time, he was not effective in getting his friend, classmates saved. So he fellowship with an older brother. Well, how come I share the gospel is not without any power? So this brother shared with him, is there anything you are struggling with the Lord?
A sister?
Yeah, is there anything that you're struggling with the Lord? If yes, you have to deal with that so that the Lord can get through you.
Amen.
So he's praying, well, this verse in Psalm, in heaven, I have no one. On earth, I desire no one. It's, well, in heaven, indeed, I don't have anyone. But on earth, and the Lord shine on me, well, he does have someone. A sister, not a sister actually, a childhood, you may say, friend, this girl, he really have a heart for her. And he doesn't want to give up. So he was bargaining with the Lord. Lord, you know, I will go to Mongolia, I will go to Xinjiang, I will go to this, I will do that for you, Tibet and so forth, so on. Just, I will do anything for you, but don't touch this one. But the Lord would not give up. The Lord became silent. And then he didn't have the presence of the Lord to thank the Lord. And he surrendered to the Lord. eventually say, Lord, I want you to get through me. Amen. This one, indeed, I want to give her up. He dealt with that. And then, after that, his gospel became powerful. Amen. Became powerful. This is preaching the gospel is not only just to fulfill the Lord's commission, but it's a way for us to grow in our own life. We share the word. We have to be filled with the word. We have to be filled with the Spirit. We have to clean out anything that becomes a stoppage so the Lord can flow freely. We all need to practice this, open to the Lord. If we don't have a burden and something's wrong with us, we have to, Lord, I'm not fruitful. I become barren. Lord, is anything stopped you? We have to open to you. So the Lord can get through us, so we can be a normal, abiding, healthy branches. And normally, I abide in you, you abiding in me. And then this one will be fruitful. It's a natural, very spontaneous, the law of life. We abide in him, we are healthy, very easily, spontaneously, we will speak something. The Lord will flow out. And then this one will be saved. Amen.
Amen.
So in here, you know, we have, my understanding is we have some high schoolers. Would those high schoolers, you raise up your hand? Anyone in high school? A student? There's a few. Amen. Thank you. And are there high school teachers?
Middle school teachers.
Yeah, middle school. High school teachers. Oh, there's a 3 or 4. Amen. Very good. And how about college student? Your student, college, including you know, all the, you know, yeah.
Graduate students.
Yeah, including graduate student, all students in the school. Yeah, college and up, okay. And those who are, let's see, as a staff on the college.
Faculty or staff?
Staff, you know.
Just staff.
And how about the faculty who teaches in colleges, universities? Amen. And how about the community saints who are not working on the college directly but have a burden? Okay. Very good. Because Brother Lee in Taiwan, he shared one time and very seriously is that for the college work or the campus work to be effective, you need the five different group of people. It's called the five rings blended together, or you may call the five cord, the robe of the five cords. And the number one, of course, is the student.
Amen.
In the student on the campus, they are the fundamental, they are the seed there. They are inside, they have friends, they have classmates, and so forth there. Number one is the student group. Number two are the faculty and the staff. They are right on the campus, they work there. And number three are the community saints. They live around the campus. They have a burden for the campus, so they can open up their home to receive, provide a base, and to receive, invite the student to their home. And number four are those who are full-timers, can work on the campus. And number five are the support and the care and the strengthening of the elders and the co-workers. These are the five group of people, or let me say five cords twisted together to have to make a strong, strong rope to carry this matter of the gospel on the campus. Every group is important.
Amen.
And crucial. And as I said, you know, I was saved when I was a college student. And then at those times, actually, let me see, we do have a student, we do have some faculty and the staff. We do not have what we call today the campus team. The other all rolled into one, that is the full-timer, the co-worker, and the leaders in the churches all rolled into one. So you pretty much you have three groups. But our campus meeting almost all the time is carried out by students. Amen. And as I say, we don't really have a campus team as such. And so really, a co-worker, usually just one person. They will fellowship with us, and then you have a campus meetings and so forth, give us some guideline, you guys go do it yourself. So pretty much in Taiwan at the time, and then the campus work indeed mostly carried out on the campus by the student there. And then we schedule time, we observe the place, we share the gospel, we invite the other people, and so forth. And that carry out the campus work that way. And I think, you know, in principle, the students on the campus should bear the most of direct contact people, invited people, sharing with them, nourish, cherish them, and so forth. Whereas all the others are in the supporting role. Support them, supply them, provide a place for them, and so forth. And we do have some, we call it the jiazang, means like a head of the household, you know, this house or the home meeting type. And then sometimes what they would do is that, okay, they would ask some of the serving brothers, you know, the students on the campus, what do you need? And sometimes they say, oh, okay, this semester maybe you should go out for taking some trips. Or to have a barbecue somewhere, you know, invite some new ones. And then the student don't have the money, say, okay, we will give you some money, you can buy some meat and prepare this, take a group of people, go somewhere. And pretty much that's the community center's role. But in this country, certainly the situation is somewhat different. But the principle is still the same. That is, we do need many homes open in the community and provide a home, inviting them. You know, because in Taiwan, it's almost all commuters. Very rarely, we have dorm to live on the campus. Even that, they also mostly come, so they all go home. But in here, it's somewhat different. Many people are just from out of town. They left the home. And so they do need some place to go. And the community center open their home is very, very important. Of course, we need the blessing of the church, and the co-workers and the elders have a full support the campus work. So that allowed the campus team or those full-timers together with those saints working on the campus, that is the faculty and the staff, and together with the students to carry out the campus work directly with the people there. So those people who are directly on the campus usually are students or faculty. Faculty have a direct contact with students. And I can testify, because I myself was such a great beneficiary being a student on the campus, I really have a burden to share this gospel to the student. And I just put this before the Lord. Actually, I testify, you know, when I was, after got saved in the summer, we went to a college young people's conference. And the whole week was on the topic of consecration. At the end of that period of time, and one by one people consecrated, I also consecrated myself to the Lord. And I'm willing to serve the Lord full time after I graduate from college. So that's my heart, to serve the Lord full time. 20,000. After I graduated from college, that was about 68, 69. And some of you know that Taiwan went through a big storm. So the leading ones, I fellowship, and so you got to finish college, what you going to do? So I say, you know, I'm waiting, I'm available. But anyway, so I say, okay, he says, we'll fellowship with the brother. And with the co-workers. And then the word came back, says at the time, Brother Lee was in the U.S., and then he did not want the young ones, those who just fresh out of college, to be a full-time. And I don't know, that probably just polite way to reject me, because I'm not qualified. Anyway. So that road I cannot be a full-time. So then I asked them, what do I do? Okay. They say, well, you know, you have desire to serve the Lord on the campus and so forth. Maybe you should go to graduate school, be a college professor. Then you can serve the Lord on the campus. To make a long story short, and after all the fellowship, they feel I should go to U.S. because Brother Lee is in U.S. So that's why I came to to America. At the time, the intention was I get my degree as fast as I can, then I'll go back to Taiwan, be a faculty on the campus to serve. And so that was my intention. But then after I came to US, and by 74, 73, and all of a sudden there's a really strong burden for the US campus. So I finished, and after some fellowship, I said, well, why don't you serve the Lord on US campus, because there's a great need there here. And that's why I stayed on the campus. Even though, you know, I may not, or may or may not cut out for it, somehow the Lord let me through this. So that's why I was serving the Lord full time on the campus with a side job called the faculty job. That's always the first priority, though. And so after 3 years in Northwestern, as I said the other day, you know, my contract was not renewed, and somehow I said, well, maybe the research is not cut out. I'm not cut out for it. Maybe I should do something else. But the desire is still here, and I say, well, maybe I should still try the campus, because the desire is still to serve the Lord with the young people, share the gospel with them. The burden is still on the campus. So I still applied to the academic job. And at that time, my own intention was this. My ideal job, in my own thinking, is that to be a junior college teacher. Because I heard the pay is very good, the time is absolutely flexible, and I only work about half a day, and I'm all done. And then I have a summer vacation, I have a winter vacation, and so forth and so on, and I can serve the Lord, I can go to all the conferences. That was my plan. And so I applied to all this, nobody wants me. And then the day when I go to UC Riverside for interview, I wrote to Cal Poly Pomona, which is a state college, and then probably research is not as demanding. But they did not invite me for interview, and so I write to them. So I'm coming there. Can I come to have an interview with you? I said, okay, well, since they don't pay me, I said, okay, sure, come. So I took that trip. You know, I used the airplane that UC Riverside paid me to go to Cal Poly Pomona for the interview. Anyway, the long story short, they did not give me anything. But UC Riverside hired me. I said, well, okay, I'm, you know, I just follow the law. If that's the opportunity, that's where I go.
Amen.
And, you know, my sharing some of this is actually says the Lord knows what he's doing. So that's not my first choice, so to speak, but the Lord knows what he's doing. So I went there. And then I still continue what I was doing in Northwestern. That is, I still go to all the meetings and doing all these things and so forth. In a way, I did not learn my lesson while I was in Northwestern. I still, you know, full-time in the church. You heard me. We share. We go to all the meetings, bring all the children here and there, you know, open the home and so forth. But somehow, my point is this. It's not us to keep the job. Amen. If the Lord wants me to be on the campus, he has to find a way.
Amen.
But it's not that we slack. Right. I work as much as I can. Many times, you know, I work because when everybody is done with all the meetings, then other saints go home to rest, to sleep. I have to start my work. And many times, I work on this, I work on that, and then all of a sudden I heard the birds singing outside. That means about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And that's how I do it. But still, some brothers at a certain time told me, Kishin, you know, at the time the defense industry in California was flourishing. And some brother told me, you're in the statistics, of course you can get a job in the industry. Give me your resume. I will put it in for you. Just say, academic job is too hard. You know, so demanding. Forget about that. You know, you have a more free time there. So I was, although I was hesitant, but eventually I gave him my resume. And I did get an interview, but I did not get an offer. I was very disappointed. My ego was hurt a bit. You don't want to be rejected, right? But it turned out, But it turned out, you know, so anyway, so eventually I got my tenure.
Amen.
It's through the Lord's way of doing things. I know fully my tenure, my success, or whatever, I can keep my job, it's not me. It's the Lord. Whenever you need the paper, somehow paper come out. When any of the publication, somehow publication gets through. Whenever the grant, for some reason, grant comes through. Amen. Hallelujah. And everything somehow worked out. And so I stayed there. And 2 years later, Soviet Union disintegrated. All the defense jobs disappeared. And not only that. And then after so-called this June 4th Tiananmen Square events in China happened. All of a sudden, the Chinese students all super open for the gospel. So I was right there at the UC Riverside to contact this group of people.
Amen.
If I've gone to junior college or go to Cal Poly Pomona, these people would not be there. Because in the early days, not like now, all of them came out that they have to have the financial support. At the time, China economy was not like today. So they have to go to get a PhD, master with U.S. scholarship. So they have to go to a research R1 university. So the Lord knows. He put me there. And then just prepared to receive this group of people for that, I would say, golden 20 years or so, all those people, by my opening the home, share the gospel, that burden, hundreds of people were saved. Amen. Again, not by me, my family alone, with cooperation with all the saints. So looking back, I'm telling some of you, especially the students and the so forth, don't worry about your future.
Amen.
Consecrate yourself to the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord will guide you through. And then many times your success or your failure even, the Lord will prevent you certain things. The Lord knows what He's doing.
Amen.
We don't know at a certain time. We only know go on by faith.
Amen.
And then you're looking back, you will see every step was guided by the Lord.
Amen.
We just step out, and then you will experience the Lord is the one who calls things not being as being, who give life to the dead. Certain things you think is hopeless, but that somehow the resurrection life come into it. I'm just testifying to you, especially for younger people, or even your young working saints, don't worry about this. The word of the Bible are every sentence, every word is breathing of the Lord. They are experiential. You can experience by faith. You step into it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Lord knows what you need. He's a loving, caring Father. He will supply everything we do. We have to have an attitude is that, well, I just live before the Lord. The Lord will take care of all these other things.
Amen.
I have the attitude, if you know, whatever the Lord's job give me, that's what I will do. If I can be, if the Lord don't want to be a college professor, he wanted to be Philip Hamburger, so be it. Which is fine. As long as we follow the Lord,
amen,
we have the full peace and the full assurance I'm doing be well pleasing to Him.
Amen.
It really doesn't matter. I can be a gardener. I can be a swimming pool cleaner. This is most of the jobs the brothers have in the early 60s and the early 70s in California. All the sisters are waitresses. All the brothers are gardeners and so forth. It's just fine. We have a glorious church life.
Amen.
It really doesn't matter.
Praise.
The matter thing is that we follow Him.
Amen.
We are one with Him. That's the key. And I'm a living testimony to you. It's not because of me. Is because of the Lord.
Amen.
Everything we do is separated, different from other people. I say, you know, many people, the super majority, almost everyone, they can get a tenure by their own effort. I can testify my tenure, my career is not because of me. God is in it. I'm one with Him.
Amen.
That's the difference. Otherwise, I can still do it by myself, Even if I become successful, what's the value of it? God is not in it. Right?
Amen.
You can have a good career. What's the meaning of that? But on the other hand, in our daily living, in our job, family, raising up the children, and so forth, we want to experience Christ.
Amen.
We want the whole story. Christ is interwoven into every part of our living.
Amen.
And that's, as in 1 Corinthians says, 15, we sow, we are doing this, it seems to be corruptible, but we'll reap something incorruptible.
Amen.
We spend certain things, temporal, money, energy, resources, but we'll reap something is incorruptible. This is the, again, in the divine and mystical realm. So we are doing daily things, but if God's in it, it becomes something. We are sowing into something, seems to be temporary things, this and that, but if we're one with the Lord, eventually we'll reap something of the eternal value.
Amen.
That is Christ himself. Something that can bring into the new Jerusalem. So come back to this gospel, and it's the same. We have to have the zeal for the gospel.
Amen.
Just like the Lord. The Lord says, you know, the zeal of your house burn in me.
Amen.
We always have such a burning fire in us.
Amen.
You know, just disclose to you, I'm 17 this year, but the fire is still burning in me.
Amen.
You know, what aspires me, I'm not beginning yet. Caleb is what? Inspiring to me. When he was 80 years old, he told Moses, give me this mountain, I'll take it.
Amen.
We have to have this kind of burning spirit.
Amen.
We never say we're too old, we're too busy, too this, too that. We have the fire from the heaven, the spirit, the fire burning within us all the time. Especially the young people. I see many young people have no fire in them. Wishy-washy, this and that, and so forth. This is not interested, that's not interested, and so forth. We have to pray to the Lord. Lord, set me on fire.
Amen.
The fire from the heaven, fire from your altar.
Amen.
You know, set me on fire, burning for you.
Amen.
Amen. We are, you know, Brother Andrew shared in here, we have to be living, right? We have to take initiative.
Amen.
Active.
Amen.
Not on our own strength. But be active, be encouraged, be empowered in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we have a spirit of power. The spirit of resurrection is within us. Give life to us. We have to have that spirit within us. We take initiative. Those who know the Lord shall what? Take action. Not on our own. But one with him. Show strength.
Amen.
Show strength. Take action.
Amen.
Yeah. And of course, you know, brother, share with you all this. That has to be our experience and our living. And I can testify to you, God is real.
Amen.
If you put yourself to it, exercise yourself,
Amen.
And he will strengthen you.
Amen.
By faith, step into it.
Amen.
And you experience God is real.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. And so I especially encourage those who are students on the campus. Your high school, I was not saved when I was in high school. But I can give a testimony to my brother-in-law, Samuel Liu. When he was in, if I remember correctly, in the ninth grade, he is already a leader among his friends, say, and with the other brothers, say, we are those ones who are going to serve the Lord full time in the future.
Amen.
Chusan, ninth grade, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to this kind of a spirit when you're young. And in the Old Testament, what, Samuel, when he was living in the temple, how old was he? When he heard the word of the Lord speaking to him. I would think probably around, probably less than 10 years old. He probably had 5 or 6, somehow after he went, he was sent into the temple, right, with Eli. And after a few years, probably less than 10 years old, the Lord already began to speak to him.
Amen.
So don't consider yourself too young. You know, give yourself to the Lord, even for high schoolers. you can start a club in high school in your school and have a Bible study with them. Get your friends together. And certainly college students. You know, many times in the church life, I find, you know, because I'm in the school, especially in East Coast, everybody try to prepare your high schoolers to go to the elite school. And you read their resume, CV. Have you read them? Boy, all these high schoolers, they already go out to save the whole world. They are the president of this, and they are the president of that. They are the leader of this group, they are leader of that. They publish a school newspaper. They put up a drama, and so forth, so on. They achieved this award, achieved that award. They achieved a lot of things. Boy, their resume look like, you know, very impressive. They want to get into the Ivy League schools. But somehow come to the church life, services, and the spiritual things, they have nothing. They become totally impotent. Why is that? Why is that? Well, I ask the why to both to the student themselves and also the parents, also the church serving ones. Why is that? These very, very capable young people, they build up a resume, long list of accomplishments. They organize this, they're doing that, they publish papers, they, you know, all these yearbooks, they've done all these things. They win these awards, win that awards, all kinds of awards. But somehow, come to the church life, come to the church services, and so forth. It's blank. Blank. Why is this? The children, the young people are very capable. Very capable. We have to enable them. Amen. And encourage them. Amen. Give them the vision. Amen. They indeed can save the world.
Amen.
But not in the worldly way. But save them into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
The real make an impact to the people. They say, well, we're going to do the saving the humanity. What's the ultimate salvation to the humanity? It's not just to change the environment. Or doing this social work, that social work. I'm not despising that. But those compare to save their life, to have a life changing into them, is not comparable.
Amen.
We have to give them the high aspiration, inspiration also, so that they will do something with the eternal value.
Amen.
That something, even God, will be well pleased. Not just the counselors will be impressed, or the college admission officer will be impressed, but will be something that God will be well pleased.
Amen.
We have to inspire them, impart value into them. And certainly, those who are in the college already, even more so, you are now even more capable now. And what are you doing there? Just to build up your resume so you can go to a better school? Go to a professional school, earn a lot of money? Well, I'm not saying we don't do that, but that's a secondary. The Lord may lead you into various professions, be successful. I'm not saying that's absolutely excluded. I'm not saying that. But still, what you want your life to be? What's your goal of your life? What's your inspiration? What's your aspiration? That's the key for us to ask. I'm asking this question to you, students, ask you to the serving ones, and so forth. We have to impart this into the young people.
Amen.
So that they can really be the age turners.
Amen.
They will be well, they have ambition. Their ambition to be well pleasing to God.
Amen.
They have to set the goal high, set the bar high. Don't set it so low. When we say, well, set the bar high, means what? High according to God's standard.
Amen.
We do have a calling, of the high calling.
Amen.
Right? The Paul aspired answer to the high calling. So that's why the whole life is toward that goal. Run the race to get that goal.
Amen.
Paul was an ambitious person. He wanted to be well-pleasing to the Lord. He wants to gain the crown. He wants to gain the reward from the Lord.
Amen.
We have to aspire, inspire all the young people in this way. Impart this vision, this value into them. And practically speaking, when we share, you know, when I was in college, well, a few things benefit me a lot. Number one is that I do have a spiritual companion.
Amen.
We pray together, we read it together, and we really share a lot of things together. And number two is that, you know, when I was in junior year, at the time Taiwan did not have a brother's house yet. Actually, you know, the co-workers in the hall three and encouraged us to start the brother's house. And that also sanctified our living. And we can all serve together. And this number two. We need, number one is that we need spiritual companion. We can pray together. And we really pray together for everything. You know, as young ones, we have a lot of concerns, certain things, you know, personal situation with the family and so forth, we pray. At a certain time when we are graduating and so forth, you know, we are concerned about career, family, or marriage, we pray together, pray for each other. And of course, the brother's house really sanctifies us. We learn how to coordinate. We learn how to serve and so forth. That sanctifies us. These are the two things, especially for young people, you know, it's very good. And then the serving ones, you know, my serving ones encourage us to have a corporate living that way. And this is a very good way for us to pursue the Lord together.
Amen.
With those who call on the name out of a pure heart, you pursue together.
Amen.
We learn how to coordinate. We learn how to take care of the younger ones and the older ones and so forth. And then, of course, in there also we pursuing the truth together also with a schedule, actually. The leading ones set up into a certain schedule. We also have a morning revival together and serving in the church life. Actually, college student, when I was a college student, I not only served the campus, I also served a home, 分家. And that home got about this home 14, got about 100 people, actually. Older ones, actually. And also, and initially, I also served in the junior high, starting, because I was just saved, and then put me on the junior high. So college students, you are absolutely capable. And learn to serve in every aspect of the church life. You know, nowadays, I understand in here, we have a special person to serve the junior high schoolers, and the college students only serve on their campus. You know, this, of course, it depends on the situation you can fellowship. My point is this. College students and so forth, you have a lot of capability. Fill your hand, fill your time with all the spiritual things. Of course, you have to study. You do. But the thing is this, I think this is called the Moore's Law. This Moore's Law is not those high-tech, those doubling the capacity. Another Moore's Law says the following. Whatever you do will fill up the time available to you.
Amen.
So don't give yourself too much time.
Amen.
If you have 1 hour, you will use 1 hour. If you have 2 hours, you use up to 2 hours.
Right.
So we have to schedule time tightly, so that you can do it effectively, efficiently.
Amen.
I'm serious about this. Sometimes, you know, we slack, and these things expand. Well, because you have time. So therefore, you do this slowly, well, I can do this, you become procrastinate. But your time is so tight, so you have to do everything with high concentration, get it all done. You know, I was in Evanston, I told you, and Bill Barker was there. And Bill Barker once said to me the following. He said, in the company, if you really get something done, give that thing to a busy person. Then he will get it done quickly for you.
Right.
It seems contradictory, right? He's already busy. And why do you give him to do? You give it to someone who has nothing to do, then he can do it. Well, this person have nothing to do because he never get anything done. So people don't want to give him anything to do. Those busy persons are those accomplishers. They will get everything done, so they are busy. And because they are busy, you give them something, they will get it done quickly, so they can get back to accomplish the other things they have to do. I feel these days, young people have too much in their hand, too much time in their hand. They are not busy now. So therefore, they do this, they do that, they get on the internet, and they get on the games, and so forth, so on, because they don't have things to occupy them. So leading ones, at least when the leading ones leading me, that's how they lead us. They give us a lot of things to do. I already told you, they give me this service, and they say, well, whatever the time you got left, you go to study. I don't have much time left. So every time I study, I have to get it done quickly. And then you have to highly concentrate. You have to search this and that and so forth. But this is a way, I'm not saying this is the mechanical law. You know, everybody's different and the capacity is different and so forth. But the principle is the same. Principle is the same. You know, keep yourself tight schedule. And so that you squeeze more things in there. And then you will do things effectively, efficiently. Amen. So, you know, I just share a little bit about my personal testimony of being a student and my burden for the campus. And I'm still on the campus. Okay. And open my home, contact the students, and so forth. Maybe I will stop here, and then you may have some questions. And so I can maybe answer at least from my experience. And with the caveats that, you know, everything, nothing is sort of the ironclad rule. Everyone have to adapt, you know, to change, modify, to fit your local situation, spatial situation, and so forth, so on. But hopefully, at least some principle and provide something you can think about. Maybe this way, maybe that way, and so forth. Okay. Amen.
For a recording and a live stream purpose, if you want to ask questions, raise up your hand. We'll give you the microphone. So there's a lot of saints listening over the internet.
I was wondering if we can have a sample, either your wife's or your schedule, how you schedule it. I was very impressed with you sharing this morning how you can multitasking. You know, you can go to college and go to school, excuse me, and have a full-time job and still have a full-time church life. You know, I would be very, very grateful if I can see some examples of it, if it can be provided.
Okay, well, ask my wife for it. She can probably dredge up some of this old schedule or recall what's the schedule. You may just give at least a quick rundown.
It's been a while. I don't know where that paper went. I just schedule from 6 in the morning till midnight. Because I think at that time, 6 hours of sleep is good enough. And what is the example of a day?
Yeah, just a typical schedule. Just write it down
schedule.
From 6 and so forth. Keep going, yeah.
Get up and then have to study a little bit of this today's lesson that I went to grad school at that time. And then I wake up the kids. And then they will do their own breakfast and they all, you know, walk to the bus station. And then I have to be in office by 8. And then I work for 4 hours. Then in the afternoon, if I have any time, well, I have to go to class either in the afternoon or in the evening because the MBA program usually, in my school, UC Riverside, is afternoon and evening. But there's any break, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, I just study. And when I follow my schedule, I really follow it. I have to preview. And after class, I do homework or the group study. Sometimes I will go home, sometimes I don't have time. I just stay there and stay in the library. And then when I go home, my kids, they prepare meal themselves because I left whatever the food from the freezer and leave it there so it will get defrost. And they come home, they'll cook rice. Then I'll eat. And I feel sorry for them because they don't have mom there. They have to do their own. But when my kids all grow up, like recently came home, hey, I said, what do you want me to cook for you? What do you like? I can do it now. And they say, oh, we want those. I said, really? I feel sorry for you. I think you're probably tired of that. Because they usually eat that every day. But they say, that's our soul food. Because they actually get used to it and they like it. And it's very healthy. I can share. What is it? Well, I got ground turkey because we don't eat pork at that time. Ground turkey with some frozen vegetables and soy sauce, and really fast. I make a big pot and then I put it in the zipper bag. At that time, probably not even zipper bag. It's a kind of like a sandwich bag. You can fold it. So you take some out and they just eat that a lot. So actually, I think it's healthier than the food get from the restaurant. And they don't feel bad. I feel bad. Yeah. And they're healthy. And also, I feel like, oh, I don't spend enough time with them. Well, I actually, whenever I can, I take them to different lessons. After I work, I still take them to the different lessons. My daily commute is 100 miles, but in the evening I can drive more than 100 miles for their lessons. Yeah. And then if it's Friday, weekend, I still go to all the meetings. And of course, when I was a student, sometimes the exam comes and I struggled. Say, oh, should I go? Should I stay maybe? Just ask the Lord for a day off. Well, thank the Lord, I always went. And when the meeting's over, I thank the Lord. Lord, I really feel energized. Thank you that I got nourished. Always. Never miss a meeting for that 2 years, even so tight. Yeah. The Lord is really merciful, faithful, that I just follow the schedule. And because I know fully, if I don't, I will fail again, and I don't want to fail. And is that enough? Or but I did that for 2 years. And then after that, I work, you have to be there a certain time. So my schedule changed. But I have to be in the car 2 hours one way, 2 hours another way. And so my car becomes my sanctuary. It's a good time to pray. It's a good time to redeem, opportunity to redeem the time. I can listen to those messages. You know, it's like half an hour a message from Genesis to a Revelation. One day I can listen to like six. Yeah. And also we have a Bible. You know, you just listen to the Bible, the verbal one, and just listen. Three months you can finish. So actually, I really treasure that time because I've been locked in the car. In the traffic, but I have no desire to beat the traffic. I just amen and pray. So I think those days I've actually enjoyed a lot more. Amen. And then when I work, my goal is get it done and get out. So I never took lunch break or I never socialized with my coworkers. And that may hurt my career, but I don't know. It's just not important. So I go, and so I usually, my boss are all very impressed. So I actually move up. Yeah. in my career, and because I'm very productive. And sometimes I have some problems that I don't know how to solve it. So when I drive, I don't always think what I do. But I drive, I pray to the Lord, talk to the Lord. All of a sudden, this problem or question is in my back burner will come to the front and say, oh, maybe you can do this way. Then I either come home or go to the office and right away check it out how to do it. Oh, yeah. So I got a lot of aha when I was in the car. And I always pray to the Lord that this career is from you. I do this is not for myself. I want to have more, I can give it to you. So actually to have a job is to make everything easier. Many times, every year, we have a performance review. So I always pray that, Lord, this year, give me something that I can impress the managers. And sometimes really big. The Lord give me something, I really impress them. At least every year I have something. So they cannot, even they know that this person is kind of weird. Always have to go home at 3 on Friday. I kind of think they probably have this in my personal record. Otherwise, how come the new manager, without even talking to me, knows that I have to leave as weak? It may, but praise the Lord, that's just the way. And it's the Lord, the word comes from the Lord, I give back to the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm not afraid of my boss or anything, but of course I respect them. But when it comes to service, the Lord is first.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So some of us are working as faculties in different colleges in New York City, and maybe we are the only faculty without any saints or with only one or two saints students gained there. And how should we start? How should we start the small group meetings, because there's no students there yet? Mm-hmm. And do you have some experiences starting a new group in new campuses in different localities?
Yeah. Sometimes you do start with nobody there. You are the only one there. One thing is that you can open up your office or in your room and so forth. Just invite somebody, you know, on the campus and so forth. On the campus, you know, somebody asks. U.S. campus, in the college anyway, the college, especially a public school, it's a public place. Anybody actually can get on the campus to share something. In terms of that, some campus may have a certain rule, is that you cannot anoint people, which means you can stay in one spot, talk with people, but you cannot keep following them. Okay. But those rules varies from campus to campus. And and also on the campus, you know, this freedom of speech is very, very strong. So they cannot restrict you in your speech. You can speak anything you want. And the only thing on the campus that somehow restriction as a faculty is that you don't share the gospel in your class time. Okay? Yeah, in the class time, you don't do that. After the class time, it's a private time, it's okay. The other thing, of course, this is so-called a conflict of interest. If you are faculty supervisor, you direct the students, and so forth, you may have to be a bit cautious. And they are not directly taking your class, or you are not the supervisor, dissertation supervisor directly on the committee or something, there's really no problem. You speak anything. College emphasize freedom of speech. You can speak anything. You can share with them. I do that. You know, I shared gospel with the students in my own department. You know, as long as I'm not their director, advisor, you know, it's not a problem. Yeah. 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 Yeah, there it is.
I have two questions. First question, the company I work for, as you know, in corporate America, people don't talk about religion. So I'm very sensitive about that. So do you have any advice in terms of preaching gospel to colleagues, not getting into trouble? Second is I have friends in China. They want to send their kids to America. And I'm also sensitive in terms of environment in China. Sometimes my friends will say, can you get me contact with the church in Shanghai, the church in Beijing, and also they send their kids to America for high school, for college. There's no problem for me to connect their kids with the local church here, but to connect the parents in China, local church there, do you have any advice?
Well, in terms of the company, you know, unfortunately, Peter just went away. You know, when Peter was working for a company, he actually had no problem to have a Bible study on the company. Actually, many people, colleagues, come to that. I have no problem to share the gospel with my colleagues either. You know, they may not like it. I still speak it. You know, and as you know, in college, it's very liberal. And then at the time, my department chairman was a Jew. He was very, very anti-Christian. But when he says something, I will say something. You know, I'm not in an offensive way, but I just expressed how I feel. It's okay. You know, colleagues, you know, it's really just fine. Of course, you know, I'm saying this in general. You may have a very special situation. Certainly, you have to exercise the wisdom as to what to say, to whom, how to say it, or what to say. Sometimes, you know, saying certain things may not be productive. You just don't say it. You choose those you think have a certain opening. And this is a particularly, you know, this environment perhaps is not different from particularly those Christians in China in a certain period of time, because they're atheists, and also the government suppress this, and they have to be very careful who they can speak to. Otherwise, not only, you know, their future may be in jeopardy. So all these things, you know, we just have to exercise our spirit to see the Lord lead us to certain ones and so forth. But in this country, you know, if according to the letter, there should be no discrimination about the religious belief. So Christians should be free to speak how we believe. Of course, in a certain environment, as I said, particularly in universities or so forth, most people probably will oppose you. Because at colleges, universities, by and large, the atmosphere is very, very, you know, left. Yeah. But so I many times I do speak, but other times I may not. If I find it's not useful or counterproductive, there's no point to speak anything. But in privately, you know, those people, I speak to my colleagues and others and so forth. And actually on the campus, actually I did bring quite a few professors to the Lord, not only believe, also baptized. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And as to the connect to China and so forth, China is so varied. Each of the colleges are all different. I would say, you know, if in here you can fellowship with Peter. He knows quite a bit of there, and also he can do some investigation about the who to contact, in what way, and so forth. But the China situation changes, varies from locality to locality. It's very different. It's hard to say because the environment is very different, so it's difficult to say in a general way. Yeah. Amen. Yes, you have a, yeah, there. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think yesterday you talk about the most gospel friend you contact is a graduate student and a postdoc, right?
And so, visiting scholars in recent years, it varies. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, my question is, I think maybe it's easy to get them saved, but it's very hard to make them to join the church meeting because they are very busy. Normally they have their own career goal. So do you have any experience just to attract them to the Lord quickly?
Yeah. Well, in general, of course, it all depends on person very. Like I shared this morning, you know, the laws of the parable, you sow the seed, there's different results. So we do not know who will do this, who will do that. And in my experience, it's the following. Some indeed, they're busy. They mostly come to Friday night meeting. And some fully into the church life. They go to all the meetings. They become gospel seed themselves. They become evangelists. So all this vary. And some, actually, they are not so active in this locality. And after they move somewhere else, and all of a sudden, you know, they're fully into the church life. And later on become a coordinating leading brothers there. You never can tell. You know, sometimes we heard of this brother in a certain place, all of a sudden, you know, after many years, he's actually a coordinator with the leading brothers there and so forth. We got very surprised because they seems don't have much while they were in Riverside, but once they changed the place, you know, whatever, they all of a sudden they flourished. So, you know, this kind of thing is a really labor of love and faith. You just sow the seed. You just keep doing it. And then it's up to the Lord. We water, we plant, the Lord will give the growth. And we just have to labor. And by faith, and give to the Lord. Yeah, don't ever say, well, I did this, these things have not much, this one doesn't have much, and so forth, so on. If we in that mode, we got discouraged. But we have many, many experience that, you know, sometimes we reap other people's soul. Sometimes other people reap what we sow. So we have to believe whatever we sow will not be in vain.
Right.
Somebody sometime will reap whatever we sow.
Amen.
And this is real.
Amen.
Even our prayer, at a certain time, you pray for someone. You really burden to pray. And then in your time and the left, it seems nothing happened. But sometime later, in a certain time, this one got saved in the church life.
Amen.
But our prayer is still effective.
Amen.
You know, I can give a testimony. Actually, I shared with you about my grandmother. Right? And I always thought that I was the first one who got saved in my family. And after some years, you know, this was in the 70s, in the early 70s, you know, Nixon visited China, began to open up the communication. So we started to communicate with some our relatives in China. And lo and behold, and then my nephew says the following, my cousins, I should say, oh, because my parents wrote to my uncles who were in China, and then at the time I have to transfer the letter from U.S. because they cannot direct the mail. Anyway, so I attached my letter, just testified to them, you know, I'm in U.S., I'm a Christian, share with them. The letter came back, to make a long story short, it says, my grandma was actually a Christian because when they were young, they lived with my aunt. And then my cousins saw my grandma's reading the Bible every morning. So later on, you know, many years later, my aunt came from China. I asked her, how was grandma saved? He says, you know, in the 1952, and then there's a neighbor, they were in Chongqing or somewhere, the neighbor preached the gospel to my grandmother. And my grandmother was saved. And later on, they moved to Shanghai. And then that's where my aunt and they lived there. And then I realized the reason I have such a painless birth, because my grandmother prayed for me. She never know this grandson gonna be saved. But the prayer, I do believe, is effective.
Amen.
And not only that, very interesting. You know, not only that, actually, it turned out later, I find, you know, one or the other, her descendant, that is like my aunt, my uncles, their children, and so forth. Most of them are Christians.
Amen.
It's very interesting. Never underestimate the power of the prayer.
Amen.
You never see it, but the effect is there.
Amen.
Many generations you don't know. Yeah, don't be discouraged.
Amen.
I know many very, very touching stories. That is the mother of parents will pray for their children's salvation. They never see it, even that passed away. Then, half a year, very soon, the ones, the children, they prayed, got saved. There are many of these cases. I personally know. So, you know, even you don't see it in your lifetime, but you faithfully pray for your children or pray for someone, the effect is there.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
I wanted to know, in your work with the students on the campuses, what did you find was the most effective way or strategy to contact them to preach the gospel? Did you schedule events? You had an established club on campus. What did you find was more effective to reach them, to preach the gospel to them?
Okay, that's a very good question, but the answer is very general in the following way. It varies, it changes with time, because people changes. You know, environment change, and so forth, and they change with person. At a certain time, this is in the good way, this kind of people might be open after time, this is not, the others, and so forth. So all of these, I can only say generally is that we have to be keen to pray and to find out, constantly develop what would be the best way to preach the gospel, this one, that one, and so forth. Environment do change. People's heart change. You know, this changing, especially prominent, especially when contact the Chinese students from China, because China society is rapidly changing. Even in a couple of years, just 2 or 3 years, you contact these new ones and so forth, their mindset, their attitude change very fast. So you have to constantly adaptive. You have to constantly adaptive. I can show you one thing. For example, 20 years ago when we shared the gospel, we contact some new ones from these new graduate students. We would take them to a mountain, have 5 outlines of the gospel message with them. They will all listen. If I do that today, nobody will listen. It's changing. Because nowadays, even before they come to here, they already have all the cell phone and so forth. You speak more than 20 minutes, they will be all doing this. No way. It's changing. So you have to adapt to their situation and so forth. The topic, their interest is changing also. So, you know, that we teach in the college, we have to change the way of teaching, right? Now everything's on the internet, on the computer. You know, when I started teaching, there's no blackboard. You know, blackboard, the electronic thing. Now everything is in the blackboard. You communicate with the student. Everything's by email. You post your syllabus, you share your assignments, you collect your assignment. Everything now today goes through the internet. Paperless now. Even the lectures changes, right? Now more visual, this and that, and so forth. Everything change. So the way we preach the gospel, contact people, get in there, we have to change. And even for different groups, it changes. At a certain time, you know, you can push them. Now you push them, or push back. So we don't push as much as used to be. And the graduate student used to be much more open than others. But now we find out the most open group, as far as those from China, are the visiting scholars. It changes. And the way we take care of the undergraduate, the freshman from China, and the way to take care of the graduate student is different. Their interests are different. So now, at least in Riverside, or the undergraduate work, the freshmen, Chinese, English, pretty much all blended together. Because that's the way they want to be. So we adapt. We're all blended together. No problem. Well, in one body anyway. In the beginning, you know, it's always one word. No problem at all. Because, you know, they all, you know, all now the English ones, speaking ones, they all live in the same brother's house. So very easily they all blended together. So if they all go to English meeting, speaking meeting, they all go. Nowadays, you know, a lot of these undergraduate freshmen from China, we encourage them all go to college conferences. English college conferences, yeah, they all go there. We're all very happy for them. As long as they go on in the church life, that's just fine. We have to just find a, you know, good way so that they all can go on in the church life. They can be nourished, they cherish, they grow in the church life, you know, to be a member of the body of Christ.
Amen.
That's all. So it's very hard to say what's the most effective. I would say most effective, of course, we always have, you know, the prayer, the word, the spirit, that's always there. You know, that's the fundamental. But the outwardly, how you actually do things, you really have to pray, what's the way, this one, that one, and so forth. You know, recently, we have a new one came, and then she was actually somewhat surprised and so forth, you know, in a gospel meeting. Anyway, she was baptized. And then she just came from China. And then, you know, nowadays, everything is the internet. So she got either text or some message from her father, say, what are you doing? And she take back, but I was in a Christian meeting, I was about baptized. This just alarmed the father to the utmost. And immediately, you know, sent something, all kinds of things, and then this young sister become very, very frightened. What are you going to do? You have to begin to really take care of her. You know, to calm her down, and then and this and that, and so all kinds of situations. These kind of things never can happen before. But now, instant communication. And also, everybody also in certain group communication. You know, if one have a negative experience, immediately the whole group knows. If a positive one, and then also they can influence her sphere of contact also. So we really have to be adaptive to all these situations and consider how we do things in the best way so the gospel can be effective. So we have to consider all these things. At a certain time, I would say, because a certain saint pushed it a bit too hard, and some people got offended. And then, you know, afterwards we realized it's very difficult for us to contact the other ones on the campus because the negative things went out.
That's right.
It gets hard. So we have to learn that. Pull back a bit. You know, take a more long-term way to do it.
Amen.
So this gospel preaching, you know, is really have to be very living, very flexible, you know, constant fellowship, prayer, and so forth, and take care of one another. Amen. Yeah.
So we had some situations, especially we shepherding the newly saved ones, mm-hmm. but after summer vacation or winter break, yeah. when they come back and then they are become very cold.
Yeah.
Do we have any example or experience to for us to how to recover them?
Yeah. That's a situation universal, especially those who are not only going to China, even the U.S. students, they go home and they solve the lost contact. So what we do is the following. We do, before they went, we do establish some sort of vital group. And you know, that's good thing today is a universal whole world you can be communicate for free. Either by Skype or by Line, by WeChat, by all kinds of ways, you know, Apple FaceTime and so forth. You can connect with anybody, anywhere in the world, as long as there's internet. Okay. So what we do is this. We have students who can buy China or some study abroad, go to Korea or some other places, or the summer or winter, summer is longer, they went home or go to an internship in some other city. So what we do is that we set up, if best is that you can still continue like a daily revival, morning time, you know, to pray reading with them and so forth. And then we do encourage this small group to constantly communicate with them either by text or by just a simple contact. Would do a lot. In other words, they are not isolated. You have the something, they also have a bit of supply. Just send something, just a short message or something. And that short message doesn't even have to be Bible verses, just a personal care. I remember you, how are things? Oh, we are doing this. Just a little bit of the contact means a lot. Means he's being cared for. You know, this is a very important, you know, nowadays this doesn't take much time. But then any little things means we care for her or care for him. And then he will take something back and so forth. Just keep the line of communication. Keep the lifeline supply. And if needed, make a phone call. It's not hard. And they will be happy to hear. And the other thing is this, especially those from China and so forth, many times in the longer vacation, they want to go home to visit their parents. And now we begin to encourage them. Why don't you invite your parents to come here to visit you? You know, your parents, you know, invite them. We'll give them hospitality, you know, come to stay for a couple of weeks to visit you. And then they can come to see our church life. And then once their parents come to U.S. and they're staying with the saints, very easily, at high probability, they will be saved.
Amen.
And then you say, well, you never come to U.S. Now, especially for China, the visa is much easier than it used to be. And then we can put you in a tour group, you know, go see, visit the Grand Canyon or something. You know, it's fine, you know. In here, you probably go to, I don't know, visit what? Niagara Falls or whatever, I don't know, an empire building, you know, whatever. It will be attractive to them because many tourists come here anyway. So invite their parents to come here. Don't go home. You stay here. Ask them to come. No, I'm seriously. You know, invite them to come. And they say, oh, yeah, I never thought about that. And many parents would like to come anyway because they want to come to visit U.S. as tourists. We just have to be adaptive, inventive. And now they do financially don't have any problem. And the visa now has no problem either. They give you 10 years visa. Each time you can stay up to 6 months. Which is adaptive and then find a way to keep them. And especially I encourage them to come is that so that their parents, once they leave their home country, and they live especially staying with us, see how we live our church life. Most of them got saved.
Amen.
That's our experience.
Amen.
So we encourage them. Get your parents saved. Invite them to come.
Amen.
Instead of going back. If they're going back, they fall into their old friendly circle, and then they got to pull down.
Yeah.
They come back dead. You take another 1 or 2 months, get them resuscitated. It's hard to do. But at the minimum, keep in touch with them. Well, we have a sister, you know, going to a study abroad from China, going to a study abroad to Korea. And we keep contact with her. And, you know, she'll be back very soon. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I amen what brothers say, that when they are away from vacation, keep contact with them. I see two a perfect example. One student continue with on the email or WeChat with the saints in America, continue morning watch. So he, even after summer, he came back, he still continued the church life.
Yeah.
And the other one just a different way. Mm-hmm. Right? The other one went different way. So that's a very good keep communication. But also I have one question for brothers. We all have a burden to preach gospel. I think it's the difficulty is to how to start, how to initiate the conversation with the person we contact with. So what we'd like to know, when you are a professor, you are dean of the department, how did you initiate your conversation with a student the first time regarding gospel?
In many different ways, okay, usually in the conversation, when the opportunity to open up, I will share at a certain value, my view, and I will say, because I'm a Christian, I look at the things this way. And in my office, I also have the Bible verses, I have a sort of the gospel calendar in my office, you know, you got both Chinese, English, sometimes they will read that thing. You know, I put some verses there, and they will make a comment that give me an entrance to open up the conversation. So you just create a certain environment so that easily, spontaneous can give me the opportunity to say something. And once certain things got said, you can see the response, which how far and how, you know, which aspect you want to continue. Yeah. You know, so certainly the cold turkey is a bit hard. you create a certain things, you know, and then a certain topic come up and give you opportunity to say something that way.
Amen.
And even sometimes we talk about a certain contemporary events, And when they express this opinion and so forth, you consider maybe give him some opportunity and say, well, my view is this, and tell him why. You know, according to the Bible, my view is this and so forth. And then you can say something and see what they respond. You can continue that way and give your testimony why you consider things this way. Yeah. Many times it's the following. You know, they will talk about certain things, social events, political events, and so forth. And they will say, oh, one should do this, one should do that. And I always say, well, I know one of the best way is that we have to change the human nature. All the problems because of human nature. You know, not because of the system, this and that, and so forth. The fundamental solution is that man's nature, the sinful nature, the selfishness, all this need to be changed. And I say, that's the fundamental solution. Give an example. You can do this law and that, and then you have a law, I have a way to get around it, right? Loopholes and so forth. And you have to change people's heart. And I say, well, the only way you can change people's heart is you need a new life. And many times, that's the way how I approach it. You know, they talk about things. You know, everybody express opinion. And I express mine, and then I tell them why. So, at least that's one way to do it. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Because of time, maybe we can, I don't know whether anybody has any...
burning questions.
Burning questions. Otherwise, we have some prayers. We really thank the Lord that brought our brother here. And it has been very profitable, and especially their experiences and testimony. I think it's very encouraging, very helpful. Maybe we can have some prayers and for the continuation of our burden on all the campuses, whether it's in high school, you know, in all in college or graduate school, on all the campuses. Let's stand with the Lord and continue the fellowship among us.
Amen.
And then we can labor on all the campuses.
Amen.
We do have some high school students. And many students in colleges and graduate school and college campus meetings. So we need to pray with the Lord and pray for all the campuses.
Amen.
And this has been our burden. And I think our brothers' fellowship really helped us and strengthen our going on all the campuses.
Amen.
Let's have some prayer.
Amen.
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 Oh, amen. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
For all this practical fellowship.
Amen.
We'd like to pray this back to you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, you have a desire.
Amen.
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 Desire to be our desire.
Amen.
To build your house.
Amen.
The Lord wants us to schedule our time so tightly.
Amen.
Even to have a heart for those around us.
Amen.
Lord, even cause our consciousness to be so keen.
Amen.
Lord, to follow your leading.
Amen.
Lord, to seek out the open one.
Amen.
Lord, pray the fellowship would continue in the coming days and months.
Amen.
Lord, we really look to you to work this out.
Amen. Amen.
This is your purpose.
Amen.
Lord, work it out.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you for instilling those burdens in our heart.
Amen.
Lord, we're open to you with our energy and our time.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, open up the way for all of us to serve you.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, you've been so effective in the gospel.
Amen.
We really give this matter to you.
Amen.
Fully open to you.
Amen.
Remove any obstacle.
Amen.
Stoppages.
Amen.
Deal with us.
Amen.
We do give all these campuses.
Amen.
All those around us, Lord.
Amen.
You would really have a way.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Lord.
Amen.
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 Lord, you have the way.
Amen.
Thank you for giving the burden in compass.
Yeah. Amen.
We will serve you in compass.
Amen.
You want young people.
Amen.
Your desire is our desire.
Amen.
Lord, we to praise you.
Amen.
Give us wisdom to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Whatever way you like.
Amen.
Just put that there.
Amen.
Lead us.
Amen.
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 Thank you for the fellowship of our Father Lee and his sister.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Lord, thank you for wherever you have placed us.
Amen.
You have scattered the saints on so many different campuses.
Amen.
Both in high school and college.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for the working saints.
Amen.
Who are on these different campuses.
Yes.
Amen. Community saints who
have
a burden.
Amen.
Lord, coordinate us.
Amen.
Strengthen us.
Amen.
Pray that we would have your grace.
Amen.
Continue steadfastly.
Amen.
Oh, propagate through every student, Lord.
Amen.
Go on in this burden.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, you desire all men to be saved.
Yes.
Come to the full knowledge of truth.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that we have same desire.
Amen.
Lord, we have same burden.
Amen.
Lord, to preach gospel to others.
Amen.
Lord, bring them to you.
Amen.
So they can be shepherded properly.
Amen.
So they can become the material for the building up
Amen.
Of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Lord, thank you. We grant us such a burden.
Amen.
So we can go out.
Amen.
Every campus in every different language.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we want to be one with you.
Amen.
Be one with you in with your burden.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you. We can labor together.
Amen.
Whether we are faculties or staff.
Amen.
Or whether we are students.
Amen.
Or we are saints on campus.
Amen.
Or in the neighborhood.
Amen.
Oh, we thank you for putting us.
Amen.
Where we are.
Amen.
Lord, rise up.
Amen.
Oh, thank you for the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel will go out.
Amen.
To all the campuses.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for bringing our brother and sister to us.
Amen.
And fellowship to us this weekend.
Amen.
We pray you grant us the wisdom.
Amen.
To share the gospel.
Amen.
The good news.
Amen.
Lord, we can be your fellow workers.
Amen.
Workers for you.
Amen.
This blessed charge.
Amen. Lord,
we thank you and praise you.
Yes.
Lord, to bring our brother and sister here.
Right.
Lord, thank you. Amen. Even though now they will go back, but our spirits are together.
Amen.
Our burden is same.
Amen.
And regardless what is the environment,
Amen.
We want to preach your gospel.
Amen.
To preach the gospel to get the Gentiles' number quickly.
Amen. Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for your burden.
Amen.
Oh, please take us out.
Amen.
Take the burden into initiation and action.
Amen.
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 Oh, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for taking us to the campus.
Amen.
We just here ask you
Amen.
To bring the prayer to our heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, brothers and sisters, we'll stop here. We should let the saints know, other saints who we know have the burden and did not get the opportunity to be here, that you could see the recordings, actually all weekend, all the recordings on live stream. So we should spread the word about that. Okay, we'll stop here.
Amen.
Amen.